Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Yo, yo, we back in the building, man. We right back at you. It's Wednesday's Rap Names Day, man. You know the voice, you know the hairline, man. You know it's Mari. I'm in the building. Jerry, what's going on, my guy?
Not a thing, brother. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm chilling, man. You know, did a little run around today. A little more run around than I wanted to. You know, I like being in the house, man. Especially since monkeypox just spun the block, and you know that shit is outside. It's all type of germs and shit outside. I like being in the house. I love being in the house, and I just love when the news give me a reason to stay in the house. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, as long as that house has AC, brother, because
that's it.
It's baking out here.
That's it. AC, you know what I'm saying? Some good tree around. And I'm good, really. You know, I'm good. Give me a documentary or something to watch. I'm great. I'm cool. Don't tell me it's a party over there. Cool. Y'all have fun. I'll be over here. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, man, Shout out to Cartoon Beats, you know, joined us last week. We, you know, talked about that Banks album. That album is getting a lot of great reviews, man. Getting a lot of great reviews. A lot of people feeling all these songs. And then, you know, a lot of his song, he got 8 joints on there. So, you know, a lot of people feeling the music, man. Shout out to Cartoon, man, for real. This week, damn, what I had in rotation this week, man. I've been listening to kind of a mix of a lot of shit. I went back and listened to The Alchemist, the first Infantry album. Got a lot of joints on there. You already know Hold You Down is on there. P is on there going crazy. The Essence by The Lox. Oh my God. I went back and listened to some old Jermaine Dupri shit, my nigga. The album when he had Freeway and Kiss.
1492, whatever that song.
It was like Life in 1472, I think. Life in 1472.
He has some things on that album, bro. Like 100%. Like, yo, you want to laugh it off? Like, oh, it's Jermaine. No, bro. Like, listen, he has some stuff on that album.
When I was younger, and then the joint that he got, Hating Your Blood, is on the next one. Is on Instructions. That one came out. What year was that? 01, I want to say. Yeah, 2001. JD has some joints. Like you said, looking back, it's like you might laugh and be like Jermaine Dupri, but. Yeah, some joints on there, man. I was listening to that. You know, of course, I listen to Hov. I don't really go too long without diving into the old Hov bag and listening to the vibe. Reasonable Doubt, man. After we had that conversation about Reasonable Doubt, I spun Reasonable Doubt top to bottom. Niggas can't rap like that, bro.
Magnifique.
They can't rap like that. Like, the shit that he was saying. Like,
and that joint was ranked like 15th on that, or something ignorant. Oh my like God. That.
I think Life After Death was 58. I'll never forget that shit. Whatever. That's kind of been my week, man. You know, I sprinkled in some R&B, but for the most part, it was a lot of rap, a lot of old rap. You know, a little bit of new rap here and there, some Detroit shit. Shout out to All-Star JR, shout out to Peasy. You know, I gotta keep it, you know, hometown with certain shit. But yeah, you know, that's really what my week been looking like for the most part.
So I was, as you were talking, I was like, I had the same moment you had. I was like, damn, what have I been listening to? I really don't know what I've been listening to. So I just looked in my searches and whatever, and it looks like, you know, I went through a little bit of a fad phase probably one day. Okay. I do remember listening to, you know, shout out to Dat Piff for having all the, you know, the mixtapes that used to have on CD. You know, so definitely listen to a lot of the soul tapes. You know,
Loso's Way tape. Ooh,
yeah. Man. I got into a little bit of a Griselda bag. I know that. And then what just came out that I told myself I was gonna listen to at the gym? Something that just came out like recently, maybe like right before Banks joined.
It was some rap shit.
Yeah, definitely some rap shit. I'm going through my screenshots. Cause I know I probably would have screenshotted this shit, and I didn't. So, you know what I mean. But you know, definitely was some Beans in there as well. Cause you know, I was talking to somebody about Beans, and word is his voice is starting to sound.
Yeah, I saw a clip. I ain't wanna get too hyped.
Yeah, I can't. You know, I don't want to get hyped because I know that's a clip. That ain't a song. That ain't a performance. And I would love for the homie to be able to get back, you know. But you know, whatever. Absolutely. So, yeah. But yeah. So you know, I very, very, very much a rotted out kind of week for me.
Yeah, man. I mean, you need those kind of weeks where you just dive back into the old shit. Like you said, shout out to Dat Piff because Dat Piff had a crazy resurgence where like Dat Piff is a legitimate streaming platform now. It's not just you type in, you get the old mixtape, the old Wayne shit. Or the old Dipset shit. New albums are coming out on Dat Piff. And I just want to applaud the people over at Dat Piff because they've been holding me down since, man, 2000 and whatever.
And like, it's for the frizzle.
For the free, man. You got to love that. You got to love that. Dat Piff is for the fucking culture. Don't let nobody tell you different, man, for real. So shout out to Dat Piff. But yeah, you know, we talked about the Banks album. We talked about Banks. He just did an interview in GQ. And you know it's not a crazy lengthy read. It's a good read. It's a pretty decent read. You know, he talked a lot about like his come up, you know, his writing process, and you know how he got about 30 or 40, you know, notebooks full of just raps just from all eras of him, you know, just writing a bunch of shit. Said he still writes today. But the most interesting part of this whole thing was when he talked about his relationship with 50, right? That's what I wanted to see. Like, what's going on? Let me see how you're going to speak on it. And basically, he was just saying, you know, he gave the correct answer. He said, we're brothers, you know, that'll never change. You know, he talked about, you know, his relationship with Yayo, how they've been knowing each other since they was like 5 years old. But he basically said the last conversation he had with Fifth told him, hey, go get what you left out there, right? Because some of those hiatuses were planned. Other ones just kind of life happened. You know, he spoke on being a father, how that affected, you know, his career. And he said, yo, he wanted to make sure he was at a point where his kids would know him. You know what I mean? Like, I don't got to be running around on the road and doing all of this. I want to be present, you know, for my kids. So, yeah, it's a great read, man. You guys get a chance to check it out. But I was happy to hear that at least publicly, you know, they're in a good space, as good a space as you can be. Fifth still ain't post the album, but you know, you know how that go.
Man, listen, bro. And you know, shout out to the growth. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to the maturization of the man's mind and everything that you can possibly imagine positive that man is going through in life. He know damn well they brothers, all right. That's my brother. That's the response when you be like, yo, that's my man. That's always gonna be my man, but I don't really bang with boy like that because he played too much.
Yeah.
Like straight up, yo, he played too much. I'm like, I don't really feel like going through that all the time. And you know, I don't get into the whole social media, John, reacting to everything, but I also know my audience and I know the person I'm observing. And I know everything Fifth does is strategical.
Absolutely.
And it's for a purpose. Okay. Whether it could be to create buzz for the album. More people will talk about it, maybe because Fifth didn't post it. Or maybe that's what he thinks. Whatever. Banks isn't dumb. Yeah, Banks ain't gonna say nothing wild. He's gonna keep it real chill, even if there is something there, because he's not social media enough to fight that battle.
Yeah, he's gonna present a united front no matter what in public, because it's like, even if it is something going on, y'all niggas don't need to know about it. So,
man, Fifth would have posted like 8 stories about how Banks did this, that, and the third within like 20 minutes of that news drop.
Yeah.
Banks doesn't want that.
Even if it was like his own Fifth being selfish, like, look, that's my boy. Like, I gave y'all that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, he didn't post it. So, you know, again, it is what it is. You know, I was just happy to, like, you know, read that article. Like I said, the part that got me was how he said he still writes to this day. He still got a bunch of shit, you know, going on. But, you know, shit, man, keeping it in the same vein with just rap and shit like that. Your man Will I Am.
Hold on.
Not your man.
Oh, all right.
This is for the listeners. Y'all man is Will I Am. You know what I'm saying? Let me be clear. He basically, and we'll talk about it, but he basically said Big and Pac aren't for him. You know, like, that's not the music that speaks to his soul. So when you mention Big or Pac and you ask him to pick between the two, he's picking KRS-One or whatever. Immediately, that's a guy who I can't see myself having a conversation with, because you said KRS-One. And he wasn't even the options. That means you went out the way to pick KRS. You niggas know how I feel about KRS. Like, I'm cool. I'm super cool. But I want to get your take on this. But here was his explanation. He said that he's way more of a Tribe Called Quest, De La Soul, Boogie Down Productions kind of guy. Not necessarily Big and Pop. He gave them their credit. He said, yo, they're dope. But that music doesn't speak to my soul. How do you feel about that? I can tell. I see your face, but I need to hear it.
So I just think that's whack, right? Like, like, if you want to tell me they both don't speak to your soul, cool. But based off of everything that man mentioned as far as the artist and the vibe, right? The vibe I'm picking up on, that's early pop. So that pop should have spoke to you, right? I think, you know, if you want to tell me you wasn't down with all the gangster stuff and the, you know, the using the N word and the B word and all that, like, if you want to hit me with all that, all, you know, that, all right, yo, I get it. It's cool. It's whatever. That's the type of time you on. Cool. You know what I'm saying? But for you to be like, they don't speak to you. So, yo, dog.
I mean,
but my man's picked KRS-One in respect to the legend. Respect to the legend. Respect. It never was my cup of tea, but I understand that there is a large majority of people in this world that will tell you he's the best to ever do, he's top five or whatever. So the man is just, it's just not for me. All them other people that Will.i.am said, I bang with. I fool with De La Soul. I fool with, who else did he say?
Tribe Called Quest. Tribe
Called Quest. I fool with Tribe.
BDP, yeah, that's his.
Cool, bro. Yeah. But guess what? I still fool with Big. Heavy.
Yeah. Yeah. Y'all know how we feel about Big on this podcast. Like, y'all know the type of, you know, status. Like, Big is in rare air. You know what I'm saying? Like, we talk about Pac. You know, we giving Pac his flowers, right? Here's the thing. I never met Will.i.am a day in my life. But nothing about him would have said that he took home Ready to Die, studied it. You know what I'm saying? Like, what he did. But you'd be surprised at the people that listen to, you know, Big Pac, listen to the legends. But my thing is, when he said it didn't speak to his soul.
That's crazy.
Because even if you said Big didn't do it for you, I think Pac is on the side of, like,
Brenda's yeah. got a baby. Like, spiritual Pac. And even yeah. Pac, when Pac was gangster Pac, the deep cuts on the jaw absolutely. Had messages.
Yeah, yeah. And he kind of gave credit to that. Like, yeah, Pac got some shit. Basically, he was like, nah, they got some shit. They just ain't my, you know, whatever. But here's the thing. I know people who are, like, diehard hip-hop fans, right? Love rap, love Nas, love Hov, love this person, that person. And I've heard them say that they didn't really fuck with Tribe. Because Tribe was a little bit before their time, and they never went back and did the knowledge. Now, obviously, you can't help what era you're born in. But I feel like if you're born in the 80s at any point, I'm born in 88. You're born 88, 89, whatever. When you grow up, you're going to hear Tribe at some point, being a 90s kid. We heard Tribe all the time. I love Tribe to this day. I can't fathom how anybody who loves hip hop doesn't fuck with Tribe. I don't get it. Same way I don't understand if you fuck with hip hop, I don't know how you don't fuck with Big or Pac. I'm not even saying but like neither one of them speak to your soul. To each his own, but
nah, it's not to each his own. I mean, it's disgusting. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. How does one of them not speak to your soul? Even a version of Pac should have spoke to your soul. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's a headline. It's a let me say something fly to get niggas on. Oh, get me back out there. I promise you, Ball got an album.
He was talking to Skills. He was talking to Skills. That's legend disgusting. From VA. He was talking to Skills. And Skills even was like, okay. I think even Skills kind of in his head, he had to play it off on some PC shit. But I think in his head, he probably was like, nigga, what? Like, what are you talking
about? Now, that just doesn't make sense, yeah. man.
Yeah.
It's just not cool.
Yeah, man. I read it and I read it and then I clicked it. I wanted to hear it because I was like, wait, maybe it's out of context. But it was like, nah, he's just.
Nah, it was in context.
Yeah, it was definitely in context. There's only one way you can really say that. Like, to, you know, and it is what it is. I read it, I heard it, and I was just like, yeah, bro, I don't get it.
Will.i.am has an album coming out soon. Will.i.am yeah, is yeah, on
yeah.
tour.
Will.i.am.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean. He got what he
hey
wanted.
Man, if you know about that song. If you know what we just did right there, shout out to you, because boy, that was a good time in rap. Oh my god, that was a good time in rap. you know, and you know, now your man, I don't know if this is your man, Jerv. Is it? I don't know. Your man Consequence, right? Consequence.
Cool.
I bet Consequence is cool. Cons is cool. Shout out to Cons. Consequence basically was like, you know, He sat down with Drink Champs. I've yet to watch the episode. I'm gonna watch it at some point. You know, I know that shit is probably 4 hours long. So you know what I mean.
I'll be honest. With you, I'm watching the Patti LaBelle joint before I watch the
oh yeah. Oh no, 1,000%.
That Patti LaBelle joint look crazy.
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah, you got Auntie Patti on there. We gotta hear. We gotta see what's going on. We gotta make some noise for Auntie Patti and shit. You know what I mean? Yeah. But you know, basically, Khans was just saying like, look, man, a lot more rappers, a lot more MCs need songwriters. Right. And his take on it was if you're going to be an MC, you're going to be like this great rapper or whatever. Right. Basically, why cut yourself short and not, you know, enlist the help of people to help you make like a hit or like get you over the hump to like make a hit, write a song. You know what I mean? Like to make it just kind of polish the product up a little bit. And to be honest, when I read that, I was like, a rapper of his status who's from like that era, who's like a seen as like a purist or whatever, he's written for Ye. We all know that. But for him to say that, I wasn't really mad at that. I wasn't mad at it because years from now, like I don't think it'll be a thing for people to have like writers. We're talking about like song, not like writing my bars and I go spit it. We're talking about like let's help with song structure and maybe give you a hook, maybe, you know, do whatever. So I wasn't really too much tripping on this. Like, am I bugging? Am I bugging for not tripping on this? Like, for him?
I don't know. Man, it makes sense. It's a mature hip-hop person now, you know what I mean? You know, because God forbid this should have been 15, 20 years ago. Niggas wasn't trying to hear that shit. Yo, get that shit on your own, bro. And if you don't get it on your own, you know, like, you ain't publicizing that you had people in the room with you, although everybody, you know, as you learn, like, there's a million people in the room. Yeah, it's a million people in the room. Mm-hmm. It's a million people giving ideas. That's how there's a million people on credits. You know what I mean? Especially if you're dealing with a dude like Ye. You know what I mean? You know, you could be the delivery dude. It's the famous story everyone tells. You could be a delivery man. Come in there and all of a sudden you're a producer on a song. You got credit, right?
Yeah, word.
I mean, it makes sense though. You know what I mean? I think that's the nice old man way of saying, yo, like these dudes now are trash. You know what I mean? Like music's trash now, or it all sounds the same. However you want to paint the picture, like you know what I mean? I think that's the nice way of saying that, and the OG saying, "Yo, you might as well just holler at somebody real quick." You know what I mean? Like, they might be able to help you out a little bit, make you get a banger, so that it's not all the same.
Yeah, I mean,
I get it.
So you know, and just to add a little context, right? He said, so when you were presenting yourself as an MC. You're presenting yourself, but when you're presenting yourself as a rapper, you don't have to be an MC to make a hit record, right? True. You don't necessarily have to do that because there are a lot of famous rappers who can't really rap that well. Like you look at like a guy like Tyga. He's not trying to out rap Jadakiss. He can't. It's impossible. But he has hit records. You look at, I mean, shit, it's anybody, bro. Like Young Berg had hit records. You know what I'm saying? Chingy had hit records. None of these niggas will stand a chance against Sheik Luch. Let's be 100. Like, let's be real. Let's not even compare niggas to the, you know, top five dead or alive type guys. So there is some truth in that. I just think that you have to, like you just said, right? To your point, if you don't make it being you, then you just didn't make it. Like, but you stay true to, like, you know, what you were. So you got to figure out what kind of career you want. You look at a guy like Pusha T. Pusha has some commercial success. He's not a radio rapper, but he has commercial success. And I'm not sure that there's people telling him, like, hey, you do it's a push a T hit, not like a hit for, you know, if it makes its way to the club, cool. But I think Push is being authentic to who he is, and then it just catches on that way. It takes a little longer to do it that way, but I feel like that road is a lot better because you did it on your own. Not mad at it though, not mad at rappers doing it, but you know.
That's why there's so much beef north of the border.
Yeah.
Even write his own rhymes. What do you mean he's the best out? Like, what?
And that's where the conversation usually switches. Even when you talk to the legends of the game, They always say, hey, I don't mind if you have a writer, just you can't sit at this table. You can't sit at this table. You can sit at that table. It's close enough. You can still hear me. I don't gotta yell, but you just can't sit at this one because we write our own shit over here. And you know, obviously throughout the years, like even with the snitch record with Pusha, Pharrell gave him the idea, you know, to make that acronym. That doesn't mean Pharrell wrote the record. Like, nah, I gave you, you my man. We grew up across the street from each other. I gave you this. It was an idea to use as a hook. You used it. You wrote them bars, though. You know what I mean?
But them bars is all yours, player.
The bars is all yours, my nigga. You know what I mean? So, I wasn't really tripping on it because it's something that's happening anyway. But you know how it is. Like, a lot of rappers now are going to be like, oh, call such and such. Call them. Get them over here. Yep, need a hit. I need something, you know? I wouldn't be tripping on that, though. That's light. That's pretty light.
Hello, listener. I'm sure you don't need me to tell you that we at Cinephobe love our pets. Zach and Boogie are inseparable. I've got two cats and a dog, and Amin is giving his best ass-on performance to convince dog owners that he loves their pet.
Hey, little, hey, boy, how you doing? And Noodles is like, whatever.
Which is why today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. For many pet parents, summer is all about making travel plans like adventuring through the national parks, visiting pet-friendly beaches, or road tripping across the country. Wherever your journeys take you and your furry friend, you can help protect them along the way with the plan from ASPCA Pet Health Insurance. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are, because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance. Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher-turned-podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high-quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep. Free shipping, vacuum sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order.
What isn't like, I'll tell you this, 17 years ago, Jerv, that Jeezy, that TM-101 hit the streets, man. You know what I'm saying? 17 years ago, bro. I was 17 years ago, bro. I know. Don't even say it. You ain't gotta say it. But I definitely remember where I was when I heard this fucking album. I'll tell you that. Like, I remember the girl I was dating at the time and all that shit. And she used to, I'm gonna tell you this. When that album came out, right before that album came out, there was a mixtape out. I think it was like the Trap or Die mixtape or something like that, right? and it was a lot of songs that was out. Everybody was pumping, like, oh, Jeezy, like, he this, he that. And when I heard him, you got to remember, this is 2005. I'm still listening to, like, Kiss is outside, active. Wayne is outside, active. Jay-Z, outside, active. The Spitters are outside. When they presented Jeezy to me, and they made it seem like he was a spitter, I was like, I don't know about that. I like this. I like it a lot. But I don't know about that. So it kind of clouded my judgment on him at the beginning, and I kind of strayed away from his music. Boy, when I tell you, when TM-101 came out, it wasn't no fucking doubt about it. I was like, oh, what's the Weebay shit? Like, I get it.
To me, I mean, it's a certified classic album to me. I don't even think it's a question perfect about album, it. That's, you know, I was in Memorial. I went to Miami for Memorial Day, probably whatever, a year or two prior to this album coming out. You know, I'm down there. I'm seeing all these signs up about Young Jeezy, the Snowman, Bad Boy. You know what I mean? Because he had the song with We Some Boys in the
Boys
Hood.
Boys in the Hood, dude.
Right? Yep. They had that joint. And then, you know, it was whatever. And then this album came out. And I didn't even get it at first, right? And my man hit me. He had a truck. And he had crazy speakers in it. He hit me and said, yo, Zach Wordsworth, yo, this album quakes. It quakes. I said, okay.
If you was around doing that, you know what that mean. You know exactly what that mean. Because them, boy.
So I had a 99 Camry at the time. I had a dope ass system in it. Got in my car, turned that thing on. Man,
nothing was the same.
Nothing was the same, my nigga.
Boy,
amazing album. Jeezy to this day is one of my favorite artists. Yeah. You know, not Pastor Jeezy. I wasn't with all that. You know, I'm just talking about, you know, the Snowman. You know what I'm saying? That's my guy. You know, salute to him. Amazing album, start to finish. There's not a skip on this joint. Yeah, yeah. You know, there's songs that I'll be like, I don't really want to hear this right
not
now.
Not a move but, for it, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, amazing album, bro. Yeah. Amazing album.
Yeah, and it's funny you mentioned that, right? Like, I guess like seeing the build up a couple years prior, because Atlanta had the NBA All-Star Weekend, I want to say 2003-ish. And my older brother and a couple of his homeboys, they you know, they went down to Atlanta. You know, it's funny, I live down here now, but you know, they went down to Atlanta back then. And when they came back, that's kind of what my brother was talking, because he loved this album. You know, when it dropped, he loved it. But that's kind of what he was talking about. Like you said, he was like, yo, Puff and them got some shit. Like, because I'm seeing shit down there about this group, or, you know, this is dude Jeezy. You pull up to the gas stations and shit, there's people down there listening to this, like, this nigga named Jeezy. He's trying to tell people about him, you know, and nobody up, we hadn't got it yet. So by the time the music made it up there, it was like, oh shit, this who you was talking about. Like, okay, cool. Mixtapes is out, they doing numbers. When that album dropped, when I tell you, I hadn't seen a public reaction like that since like Get Rich. Man, it was because every single car that drove through our block was playing Jeezy, a different song. And we were listening to it right on the porch. We had the radio right outside. CD, you know what I'm saying? That shit probably, bro, we played that CD. Remember Big said, I let my, until the tape pop. Bro, that CD probably has so many scratches on it and got burnt out. Bro, we had the bootleg, and then we got the real version. And I want to say the bootleg was missing maybe two songs. I don't know if Go Crazy was on the bootleg. I'm not sure. I think, but it was on the, you know, the when the album dropped. And we was just like, this is back when you would look at the booklet, look at the back of it, and read the all of that shit. Like that era. This album is just one of them, man. Like, listening to this album right now, still, it doesn't sound dated. Even though it was from that era of that era, you listen to that right now, and you can see that's the blueprint being drawn up for everybody that came after him from that with that sound, man. For real.
The album made it illegal for people to wear Snowman t-shirts.
And then what he do? Followed it right up with a mixtape. You can't ban the Snowman.
Can't ban the Snowman, dog.
Yeah, it was different. Oh, that was a different time, man. That's back when, you know, you might have weighed 140 pounds, but your shirt was 4X. You know what I'm saying? 4X shirt with the shorts on that look like jeans. You don't know if it's a, if it's a pair of pants or not. Air Force Ones on. Yeah, you already know. Like that was that time, man. You know what I mean? It's shit back then. It's shit back then. If you got in your closet from that era, you probably still can't fit today.
Damn, yo, I would love to find a vintage snowman t-shirt, yo.
They're probably out there. I'm sure Etsy or eBay, one of them. They got those shits.
I'm gonna have to look for that shit, yo.
Yeah, fuck that. Niggas gotta bring the snow back, man.
Bring the snowman back. Fuck it, man. Good,
we bring the snowman tees back, man. Fuck it. You know what I mean? Push is still out here. You know what I mean? Talking about having snow fights and all that. Why not? You know, why not? We need to make it happen, man. But yeah, that album is one of them. You know what I mean? So for anybody who, I don't know why at this point in 2022, you would have not heard it. But, you know, hey, maybe you were too young. I don't know. Do yourself a favor and listen to that album. And if you love that album like we do, shit, play it again. Because, boy, that shit still sound good. Like, today it sounds good, man. You know?
Facts.
And that's 17 years ago. Let's talk about some shit that was 25 years ago. Because it's not a lot of albums that stand the test of time. It's not a lot of albums that when you say the name, people start to, you know, jog their memory and say, oh, I remember that. Or, oh, that was my shit off of that. This was my, you know, talking about none other than No Way Out, man. Whew. You talk about one of them ones. This is, you know, 1997, man. Like, this is, I wouldn't be mad if somebody said, like, this was the album of that year. I wouldn't be mad at it. I wouldn't trip. Volume One came out that year. Ho put out Volume One that year, if I'm not mistaken. And then this, you know, this was out. I wouldn't be mad if you said this was the album of the year in 97, because it was just one of them off of Victory alone. Let's get that out the way. Victory is
it was a wild time back then. It's a very sentimental album. I think personally it's a classic album, and it took a little while for it to get its due based off of the fact that Puff was Puff and everybody wasn't trying to show it love because, you know, we just spoke about niggas writing rhymes, you know, you know, all that jazziness. We just had Lost Big. Yeah. So on this album, you get a shitload of pain, you know what I mean, on this album, which... was amazing to see, you know, and it's to me, I mean, there's things on here that today I would skip, right? That I'm just like, I don't want to hear them joints. But if I was on a road trip and I was just like, yo, I gotta throw out, like, I'm gonna throw albums on and I'm not skipping them, I'd have no problem listening to all the tracks on this particular album. I mean, you had feature, first of all, like you said, Victory. I mean, for that to be the last of the real big verses, well, More Money, More Problems also, but I don't know which one. But, like, for this to be the last of the big verses that we got that was fresh, I mean, that was just a cold-ass song, bro. Cold-ass song. The video was fucking amazing.
Amazing.
You know, one of the hardest verses ever that I heard, you know what I'm saying? And then, you know, I mean, shit, I'm looking at the track now. Big's actually all over this album. Like,
yeah.
Young G's.
Oh, man.
Like, first of all, you know what I'm saying? They both crushed that shit. Man. Actually, all three of them crushed that shit.
Yeah, hell yeah. 100%.
You know what I'm saying? But obviously, we just know that Big.
Yeah, we know.
Or Kiss. Either Big or Kiss wrote it. And then you got Big again, bro, with All About the Benjamins.
Listen.
One of the most iconic songs in hip-hop history.
Not only that verse on there from Big is literally my favorite verse ever from any rapper on any song ever. The build-up, the it was different. The beat switch. I remember this song used to be on the radio all day and night. I don't care what we were doing. I would make my mom or my dad wait until Big got done rapping before we got out that car. I have to hear this. And when I go inside, I'm going to put the radio on so I can hear this shit again. That verse is special. Special. That song. Period.
Iconic, bro.
Whew. Like, iconic. It was, and when you listen to the Locks talk about it, it was just kind of like it was just another song back then. Like, Kiss was like, all right, bro, like, okay, I'm gonna write to it. Cool, whatever. I'll get to it. And it's all about the bit. Like, you got to think of the magic that was going on at Bad Boy around that time for this shit to just be kind of like, yeah, I'll get to it later. You know what I'm saying? Like, they had so much shit cooking up. That song is incredible, man. Like you said, you know, you got him on Young G's, but then you got Been Around the World, right? Been Around the World is one of them. It's one of them songs. It's gonna play forever. It's gonna be fire forever. You got what's my shit? One of my mans, rest in peace, my man Juice. The Is This the End song? He probably played that song 395 times a day. Like, he, that shit is, it's one of those ones too, man. I Got the Power, you know what I mean? LOL. Like, it's just one of those albums when you see it. Like, when I see the artwork of this album, it takes me back to, like, just listening to that. You know what I mean? Like, coming up, listening to it, it's all that, like, my homeboys was playing. My brother was listening to it. And like you said, we had just lost Big. So it's like, fuck, man, it's all we got. Like, this all we got left is this. And you start the album off basically with Victory. Like, cut it out, my nigga. That was unfair. That's unfair. How do you have this, like?
I mean, it's a. I mean, you said it. What was going on at Bad Boy at that time? Like, oh my lord! Like, you know what I'm saying? You got Big, you got Mace, you got the Lox, you got Black Rob. Man. You know what I'm saying? Like, even though they're not technically Bad Boy, you got Junior Mafia being affiliated and doing stuff like. You know what I'm saying? Like, Kim's verse on All About the Benjamins was cold. Crazy. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's one of them albums, man, where you'll never, unless you have a reason to talk about it, you'll never talk about it. You know what I mean? Because of a whole bunch of different reasons or whatever. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, and you know, and as wild as it sounds, it came out in an era where, you know, it was just a lot of these greatest albums that we talk about of all time. They were all coming out within this 5 to 10 year window of a span. You know what
Titans
I'm saying?
Titans was dropping every year, Juggernauts every year.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You got everything from Big dropping to the Big Homie dropping every year.
DMX
was right after that. Yeah. DMX. You know what I mean? Yep. Whatever. You got a ton of albums just dropping.
Shit. Yeah.
And it's easy for this to get lost in the mix, which it does. You know what I'm saying? But amazing album. No, just talking about the music, having nothing to do with Puff or whatever your thoughts may be. It's an amazing album. It's a great project, man. It's one of my favorite albums from that era.
Yeah, no, hell yeah. That's why I said, like, I wouldn't argue with somebody who said it was the album of the year 97. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's because it's a sentimental album, bro. Like, it's one of those, and that's the reason why I think it gets kind of lost in the shuffle too. Because unless you were, like, around back then and, like, I guess like gave a fuck enough, nobody would really kind of go back to it. Me personally, Victory is just it's a flawless song, period. Any genre ever, it's a flawless song. So when I go back and listen to that song, it's hard for me to turn the album off after that song goes off. Like, it's almost impossible. I have to listen to at least 5 or 6 joints on there. If I'm riding around or if I'm chilling and Victory is on, I have to listen to something on that album. Like, it's not just, you can't just go there and just pick, like, okay, yeah, I'm gonna listen to these three and I don't need nothing else. Like you said, maybe sometimes I might not be in the mood to hear everything on there, but if I'm riding out, I'm not skipping anything. It's just one of those things, man. Bad Boy gave a fuck about albums. They gave a fuck about the skits and the transitions and the features and how this play off of that. So I'm always appreciative of, you know, projects like this. 25 years, dog. Like, we had this conversation before about classics. What are going to be the new classics where you look back 15 years from now and you say, oh, man, and, you know, in 07, this dropped. 06, this came out. In 2012, fuck it, 10 years ago, 5 years ago. So that's why you have to love artists like Kendrick, Cole. Drake is, you know, giving us, he hasn't given us the, you know, whatever, the certified consensus classic, but he has enough material out there. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's enough material. But, you know, you gotta really, like, embrace these new artists a little bit, like the ones that's giving you Wale. You know what I mean? Like, that, and that's another episode too. We're gonna talk about Wale soon, because he's criminally underrated and it's disrespectful at this point. Like, it's crazy. But, you know, all these new artists that's giving us this classic material, man, you gotta appreciate it, because, like, who's coming up in this next class this next freshman class is going to give us classic material. 15 years from now, we looking back and being like, oh, that Travis Scott or that, like, that's, is that what we're going to be doing? You know what I'm saying? Like,
nah, we're definitely not doing that, right? Like, no, we're not doing that. We in that right now in hip hop. We're in that era of hip hop where the NBA was, where like they kept getting all these high school dudes and dudes that was too young or whatever. Like, you saw the talent, but they just needed time. We in that era of hip hop, right? It's going to be a little while before we catch that next wave of the Coles, the Kendricks, the Drake. Not even going back to the big homies and all them dudes, Coles, the Kendricks, the I guess the, you know, the Aubreys of the world, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, because he's at the different table, right? Like, he's at the other table. Like, he's there. It's just a different table, right? But even him, like, you know what I'm saying? You know, it's going to be a while before we get another batch of individuals like the core four that we have right now. You know what I mean? And, you know, when we do, we'll know it. You know what I mean? We'll know it because, you know, I say Cole took a little bit longer for everybody kind of to peep, except for his core fans.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, but Kendrick, it was pretty much written from day one. You saw it.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody loved Drake from fucking day one. Like, soon as he came out with Successful and all that shit,
it was over.
I mean, yeah, he was destined to be the fucking number one person in the world, right?
Yep.
And then who was the other person? Kendrick, Cole, Drake, and is that it? I mean,
from that era, Wale
is
that class. So
yeah, but he's not at their table. He's not at their table. He's underrated, but like, he not underrated much.
Yeah,
yeah. Day table. And I love Wale. Wale probably thinks that he should be at that table, and I respect 100%. That confidence. But like, Wale's at like the table, like right before them.
You saying like with the like status wise, not like skill. You saying like the Big Sean's and shit like that. Like, that's more.
Nah, he's at a different table than Big.
Different
Sean,
table than, like, okay. Yeah. I'm just trying to figure out like what you
pick. Because he's nice.
I got you. Got you.
He's nice.
Got you.
You know what I mean? Wale's just his own biggest enemy. Like,
you
can't get out of his own way. He's the emotional name dropping rapper who can fucking rap his ass off.
Yeah, I mean, shit, it sounds a lot like Game, to be honest. Except it's just it's different.
Oh, yeah, by the way, that nigga album ain't come out yet, right?
Listen, not only did it not come out yet, but he claims to have 7 samples cleared by Big Homie on this album.
So. 7 clear by who? Oh, samples. Yeah, not features. Like,
oh no, hell no, no, no. If Big Homie was giving out 7 features, it wouldn't be to him. I'm gonna tell you that right now.
Nah,
no. I'm just surprised he cleared the 7. I want to hear
Big Homie not rapping anytime soon, by the way, because he not on that Beyonce album. When she listed Trey Jones, and that's the number one sign.
Yeah, his pen is on Break My Soul, but like him rapping, you probably not going.
Oh, he penned some of Break My Soul.
Yeah, and the thing is, when his pen is on there, but I can hear the part that's him. I can hear the part that's influenced at the end when she's like, "Say you outside, you ain't that outside." When we back outside,
I got to listen to it again.
When you listen to that part again, you can hear Big Homie, like, in case you forget how we act outside. You know what I mean? It's like, oh yeah, that's I hear Sean right there.
Okay.
Why ain't ho, that's Sean, that's Jigga right there. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, man, like, it's this again, like, just to get back to you know, No Way Out, bro. Like, you got the best fucking Puff and Mace features, you know, on this shit. Like, what's not to love about it, especially if you from that era. Like, you know, I used to watch those videos and all that shit. Then the Been Around the World remix. Oh my god, yo. They was in a video acting so silly. Like, that was
all about the Benjamins remix was dope too. Dude did a rock and roll remix and that shit was fire.
And
Big got his own beat on that one too.
Listen, it was a different era, man, where niggas like, you really get excited about these songs dropping. You know what I mean? Because like, most of the time when you heard the song for the first time, it was when a video dropped. You was watching like the making of the video and all this, MTV. Or MTV Jams. They'll do the
World Premiere.
The World Premiere, and then it'd be like the Jam of the Week. So every time, you know, on the hour, they're going to play it. So you know, like, oh, shit, it's 7:58.
Matter of fact, the rock and roll remix I saw it at the world premiere on MTV.
You know
what I'm
saying? Yeah, you already know. Oh, 7:58, let me go get my ass right on the couch. Bang, put MTV on. Oh, that video finna come on in a minute. Whether it was Big Pimpin' or it was whatever it was, you knew. Like, let's go, you know, let's do that. So, yeah, man, shout out to Puff. You know what I mean? Or whatever you're going by these days. I think it's Brother Love or just Love. It's something like that. I don't know, man. Whatever. But we gonna call him Puff, man. We're going to call him Puff. You know, that's kind of what we know him as Puff. I'm not calling him Love or none of that, you know. Definitely not doing that. Yeah, shout out to Puff. Shout out to Bad Boy. Shout out to that era. Shout out to artists that give a fuck about albums. You know what I mean? Shout out to artists that care. Like, nah, I can't put this out yet. It ain't finished. I got to give y'all something, you know, that you will buy the physical copy of and shit. So, yeah, man, I need to go get this shit on vinyl while we're talking about it. I need to go look this up. I need to see what's up with that. Add that to the collection. But, yeah, man, you know, listen. Another week, another episode of Rap Names, man. Till the next time, please continue to rate us, subscribe, review, tell a friend to tell a friend, man. We holler at y'all, man. We out.